The following audio is from LCBC Church. To learn more about LCBC, visit lcbcchurch.com.
Well, listen, I am so glad that you guys have decided to join us here today, because today is kind of everything we're about as a church wrapped up in a little bit over an hour. And because today we have 198 people across all of our locations who are going public with their faith in Christ through the act of baptism. Almost 200. Just incredible. Listen, over these last few weeks, you know, we've been reflecting back on our 35 years as a church and what we've seen God do. And one of the things that we've said over these last few weeks is that it's quite fitting, isn't it, that our church started in a garage 35 years ago. Because a garage is where we keep the messes. And I realize some of you neat freaks out there are like, not me, okay, but most of us, right? We keep the messes in our garage. The garage is where it's okay to have a little bit of mud on your shoes. And from our earliest days as a church, we have wanted to be a church that is okay with the messes. All the messes that we bring in with us when we come to this place. A church where all of us can come and feel safe to begin exploring what it means to follow Jesus with our lives. But garages aren't just where the messes are kept. Garages are also where broken things get fixed. And that's the point of church, isn't it? It's not just to collect and assemble a bunch of broken messes. It's to be introduced to the only one capable of fixing us completely, Jesus Christ, which is who we are, LCBC, lives changed by Christ. And ultimately, that's what these 198 people are saying today. They're just going public with it. They're going public that they are lives changed by Christ. And I recognize, listen, man, I recognize that baptism, it may be one of the strangest things the churches do, right? I mean, imagine walking into any other place, you know, imagine going into a restaurant, seeing people dunking people in water. You're grabbing your family and you're leaving. And so let me just take a quick second in light of that to just unpack and explain real quick, you know, kind of what we're doing today and why we get so excited about it. And one of the things that I think you'll quickly discover as you listen to these stories today is that the people getting baptized, they come from very different backgrounds. Some of them are gonna be older, some of them are gonna be younger. Some of them are not so wealthy, some of them are very wealthy, some of them have made a wreck of their lives, some of them haven't even lived long enough to have made a wreck of their lives quite yet. But as different as their backgrounds might be, there is one common thread that ties all of these stories together, and it's this. They've all answered one particular question the same way. And it's not a question that the church asked them to respond to on some form. It's not a question that one of our pastors asked them to answer. It's actually a question that Jesus posed. It's a question that Jesus asked to his closest followers. And the question that Jesus posed is just as pressing 2,000 years from the day he asked it. It's just as pressing it today. As Jesus was walking one day with some of his closest friends, his closest followers, one particular day, he turned around and he just asked them this real simple question. He says, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? And sometimes you get the sense that his disciples, his followers, are kind of a little bit dense or a little bit dull. And so I imagine one of them be like, Jesus? And he's like, I'm not asking for my name. I know my name. I'm saying, who do people say I am? Like why I came, what my purpose is, what I'm here to do. And then a few of them piped up, and one of them said, well, some people say that you're John, you're like John the Baptist, and some people say you're like Elijah. In other words, people are saying that maybe you're like a prophet or some kind of a miracle worker, or you're a revolutionary. There's a lot of ideas floating around out there about you, Jesus. In other words, it's the disciples' way of saying, nobody really knows. But then what Jesus asked next, this is the real question. And what Jesus asked them next, it makes it clear that the question that he just asked them, that was just a setup. It was a setup to get to the real question. The question that has been echoing down through the halls of history ever since Jesus asked it. The question that these 198 people today have wrestled with and answered for themselves. Because this is what Jesus asked next. But who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Jesus is like, yeah, I know what others are saying about me. I want to know about you. Who do you say I am? I'm not who does your mom say I am? I know who she says I am. Not who does your grandparents say I am? Not who does your professor say that I am? Not who does the History Channel say that I am? Not who does your pastor say that I am? Who do you say I am? You ever answer that question for yourself? As if Jesus were staring into your eyes, waiting for a response? You know, at some point, that's a question we all have to answer. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter your background right now. We all have to answer that question at some point in our lives for ourselves. Because we've tasted and we've seen and we've explored, because we've experienced firsthand the transformative work of God in our lives. Not because we heard stories about it, not because we just grew up knowing some things about Jesus, but who do you say he is? And just like 2,000 years ago, there's a lot of different ways we could answer that question. You are the, I don't know, fill in the blank. You are the great example for us all. You're a great example, Jesus. Okay, that's one answer. You are the good moral teacher. You teach us how to behave better. That's another answer. Some of you may feel like, Jesus, you're the figment of people's imagination. I'm not even sure you're real. Some of you might answer that question like, Jesus, you're the crutch for the weak-minded. There's 1,000 different ways you could answer that question. And by the way, choosing not to answer it or ignoring it, well, that's an answer too. When you sit back and be like, oh, I'll get to that whole Jesus, the Bible, you know, the God stuff. I'll get to that once I get out of high school. I'll figure all that out once I get out of college. I'll figure all that out once I settle down and start a family. That's when I'll start giving some attention to that thought. But that's just you answering the question. That's just saying, Jesus, you know, you're the one who's not worthy of my time right now. But the reality is this, guys. The reality is that Jesus Christ was the most influential person who ever walked the face of this earth. And at some point in our lives, we all have to look that reality square in the face and ask, why is that so? We have to answer Jesus' own question. Who do you say I am? And that day, all those years ago, that question, when he asked it of his closest followers, that question kind of lingered in the air for a moment. And maybe there was a moment of awkward silence, but then finally someone breaks the response, and it's Peter, and it's so typical because Peter's usually the first to talk without thinking about it too much. But this time Peter thought about it, and he speaks up. And this is what Peter said. Peter said, you're the Messiah. That's who you are. You're the Messiah. Now, the word Messiah, it's actually a Hebrew word. The Greek translation of the word Messiah is Christ. And it's just a title. It's a title given for the one that they believe would rescue them. In other words, Peter's saying here, I don't know everything about you, Jesus. I don't know what it all means, but here's what I know, here's what I've come to believe. You are my rescuer. Which begs the question, rescue from what? And at first, these very first followers of Jesus, they were convinced that the rescuer would come and fix all of the bad stuff in the world out there. Fix all those people. Fix all the bad out in the world. Fix all the brokenness out there. Fix our circumstances, fix our situations, fix all the places in the world out there. But what they quickly came to discover is that the greatest rescue that Jesus came to perform was not about fixing all the brokenness out there. It was about fixing the brokenness inside of us to heal and restore and forgive and renew our hearts. Because when we selfishly put ourselves in complete control of our lives, guys, that's a recipe for disaster. Some of you, you've walked down that road. I've walked down that road. It's why one of the New Testament writers, his name was Paul, and he just said it this way. I love it. It's just so simple. He just said, the consequences of sin is death. In other words, sin always comes prepackaged with consequences. And we have all, every single one of us, we could all share stories, right, of how we have felt the sting of sin in our lives when we have seen firsthand how things die as a result. I mean, come on, guys, let's be real. How many of us have seen marriages die because of a sinful choice someone made? How many of us have seen integrity die, someone's integrity die, because of a sinful decision that they made? How many of us have seen trust between two people die because of a sinful choice? How many of us have seen hope die because of sinful choices. Guys, look, we need a rescuer. We need saving. We do not need someone to help us be better people. We need someone who can bring us new life where our sin has robbed us of it. And Jesus alone, is that rescuer. And that's why these 198 people today are saying across all of our location, that's what they're saying. They're just going public with it, just like Peter did all those years ago, acknowledging that Jesus and Jesus Christ alone can rescue us and bring us back to our Heavenly Father. And today they're doing that by going through this public symbolic act that we call baptism. And that's all baptism is. It's just a symbol. It's like a living word picture. It's a symbol because when we lower someone into the water, which you're going to see us do in a moment, when we lower someone in the water, it's them symbolically saying that that old me has died and it was buried. That old me that used to make myself the center of the universe, that old me that used people to build my own kingdom, that old me that refused to let go of bitterness, refused to forgive, that old me is dead and gone. That's not who I am anymore. I've been raised to new life. I'm with Jesus. So you want to know what baptism is? Baptism is just a public declaration of a new association. That's what it is at the end of the day. It's a public declaration of a new association. See, what these people are saying when they get baptized, they are saying, it's just really simple. They heard the voice of Jesus asking them at some point in their life, who do you say I am? And they made their decision. You're my rescuer. You're my savior. And I can promise you this. I can promise you what they're not saying. They're not saying they have it all figured out. They got this whole life thing nailed. It's not what they're saying. They're not saying that it means they'll never struggle again after today. It's not what they're saying. They're not saying that somehow this baptism is necessary. It's like a necessary last step in order to be right with God. Nope. The work of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, that is what makes us right with God. No work of our own. What they are saying is, I'm with Jesus. He's my rescuer. And their baptism today, it isn't required for Jesus to rescue them. It's evidence of being rescued. And I feel like I need to say that because every now and then I'll pick up this idea, especially if you grew up in certain faith traditions, that baptism, it's almost like baptism is like the last step you need in order to be saved, to be right with God. That's not true. You won't find that anywhere in the New Testament. It's not required for rescue. It's evidence you've already been rescued. In other words, the people getting baptized today, they're not more of a follower of Jesus because they're getting baptized. They're getting baptized because they already are followers of Jesus. They're not getting baptized today to get more of God's love. They're getting baptized today because they know they already have all of God's love. It's an outward symbol of something that's already true, a declaration of a new association. So here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, you're going to see people who are going to, you know, are getting baptized. They're going to walk up. They're going to pin a red note card on a cross. And on that red note card, they've written out prayers or maybe just heartfelt expressions of gratitude to God for what he's done for them. And some of the people today are getting baptized, they're kids. And I just look at that and I just think how incredible it is to make a decision early in life that they will follow Jesus. And parents, I just want you to know that the greatest gift that you will ever give your children, it'll have nothing to do with what goes under that tree in a few weeks. The greatest gift you can give them, it will be to lead your family in a way that prioritizes the development of their faith. And then some people, they're not young, you'll notice they're older. And they have regrets and they have a past and yet they've decided to follow Jesus because it is never too late to respond to that question, who do you say I am? And then they're going to get into the water, and pastors and leaders in their campus, they're going to ask them if they're trusting in Christ. And we've already asked them that, but we'll just kind of reaffirm it here. And upon their confession, we'll lower them down, symbolic of them dying to their old life and being buried, and then we'll raise them back up, symbolic of an experience of new life in Christ. And I always feel like I need to give a little bit of a permission slip. So here's your permission slip. Just give it to you one more time. When they come up out of the water, we cheer. We celebrate, we hoot and holler, we kind of go crazy. If you got noisemakers, we do the noisemaker thing. And so if you're in rooms, we don't do golf claps. We do like graduation claps, right? If you're watching online or in the chat, when they come up out of the water, let's see those little heart emojis and clapping hand emojis just flood the screen. But here's what I hope that you experience today while you hear these stories. Last thing, and then I'm gonna get out of the way. Here's what I hope you hear. First of all, if you're here today and you're a life changed by Christ, you're following Jesus, I hope today you are reminded of the immense love that God has poured out on you in Jesus Christ. I hope your heart is reignited today with gratitude to God and hearing these stories. And for those of you, you invest in our church and you invite others to our church, I hope today, if that's you, man, I hope your heart is filled up with encouragement by the reality that no dollar given, no hour served, no invitation offered is ever wasted, ever. And although you may not personally know some of the people getting baptized today, they may never know your name, your willingness to invest into this church has made an eternal part. It will be an eternal part of their story of rescue. And then if you're here today and you're a life changed by Christ, but you've never gone public with it through baptism, I would just ask you, man, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? I know it's intimidating. I know it can be scary kind of sharing your story and all that. I understand that. But man, don't rob us of the opportunity to hear the work that God's done in your life. There's someone who needs to hear your story, not mine, not the people who sit around you, your story. So don't take that opportunity for us. Go public with it. Put a stake in the ground with your faith in Christ. And if that's you and you're interested, our next baptism's coming up in the spring. And I just want to encourage you, go to our website today. Don't wait. You don't even have to sign up. You can just get more information about it. We'd love to have that conversation with you. And then lastly, if you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Christ, you're not a life changed by Christ. You're exploring. You're thinking about it. You're dipping your toes in the water. I just have to believe that for some of you, God has orchestrated the events of your life to have you exactly where you are right now, in the seat that you are in. Because he wants you to know that he's pursuing you, that he loves you, that his relentless love for you will never give up, that you may run from him, but he'll never stop running after you. Maybe for some of you, you've already felt that question burning in your heart somewhere. Who do you say I am? Jesus is asking. And today, it's time to finally surrender to the rescuer. And if that's you, we'd love to talk with you about that. And so, if you're in one of our rooms, just go down to the left. Go down to the left. There's people there at the end of our gathering today who would love to pray with you and talk a little bit more about you. If you're online, you can just say something in the chat. And we have hosts who would love to talk with you there as well about what it means to follow Jesus. Guys, listen, today is a celebration. It's a celebration of what God has done and is doing, not only in the lives of those getting baptized, but what God wants to do in all of our lives. So lean in to these stories because God wants to speak into your life today through them. Would you pray for me? Do pray for me, please. But would you also pray with me? God, I do need a lot of prayers, so thank you. God, we just are so grateful. So grateful that we get an opportunity to hear these stories today. We're so grateful that you're not done working in our world. We're so grateful, God, that when we are at our lowest, when we have run our farthest from you, your loving arms are so much longer. Your legs to run after us are so much stronger. You will never give up on us. You will continue to pursue us in love. We thank you, God, that none of us are too far gone. God, as we hear these stories today, I pray that our faith is expanded and our love for you is grown. I thank you for the courage that these 198 people have displayed by going public with it and sharing their stories. And I pray today, God, that for those people getting baptized, this is a stake in the ground, that they are yours and nothing can change that. Because they've answered that question. You're the rescuer. You're the savior. We love you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Hello, I'm Tom, born and raised in Akron. I've been attending LCBC on and off for a few years and finally came back again, for good. I have a wonderful wife named Emily and two beautiful children. Eleanor, and Tom IV. I work for the borough of Mount Joy as a public works and park crew member. I am also a daytime fireman with Mount Joy and a captain with Akron. 2022 will mark 15 years as a fireman. Before I trusted God, I was not in a good place. I was dishonest and was unfaithful in my marriage. I prioritized other things in my life over my wife and children, and above all, Jesus. My actions were reckless, and my attitude and behavior tore my wife down. On July 3rd, my wife left me. I was devastated and angry. I couldn't believe this was happening to me. I blamed Jesus and kept asking, "Why me?" Things escalated until finally I reached out to my good friend, pastor, and fire chaplain, Jimmy, who opened my eyes back up to Jesus. I realized that with everything going on in my life, I needed Jesus now and forever. Since trusting Jesus, I have changed my priorities in life. I have put Jesus as my number one, followed by giving my full attention to my wife and children. I have trusted Jesus with my unfaithfulness and have cut all those temptations from my life. I have vowed before Jesus to be an honest and open man and not bottle up my feelings anymore. I am working day in and day out to continue my path of trusting Jesus and expressing my feelings in healthier ways. I want to be baptized today because I fully trust Jesus as my leader and this thing we call life.
My name is Liza, and this is my story. I grew up going to church on Christmas and Easter. As a kid, I even did vacation Bible school a few summers and really enjoyed it. In high school, I became involved in Young Life and felt like that was an amazing, accepting experience. I met some wonderful people and had great leaders. In 2011, I went away to college and was very on and off with my faith. I got busy. Life got in the way, and I tried to do things my way, which obviously did not work. Flash forward to 2020. I was called back to my faith through my friend Kristen, who also attends LCBC. I accepted Jesus this past winter when I knew I needed to change my lifestyle. Jesus is unfailing and unchanging. I attended my first gathering in March 2021, and I immediately felt more connected, alive, and I knew my life would be changed forever. Today, I know I can trust Jesus as my Savior, and I don't have to go at it alone or do things my way anymore. In the water with me today is my friend Sammy. Thank you, Sammy, for never giving up on me, even when I strayed from the right path. I want to be baptized today because I trust Jesus even during the difficult times.
My name is Addison. I live in Mannheim at home with my parents and my brother. I currently work as a service technician at Gap Power and like to play guitar and go fishing in my spare time. I accepted Jesus into my heart when I was around 6 or 7 years old. But for most of my life, I didn't fully follow or trust God in my life. Before I fully trusted Jesus, my life felt very lonely. I kept a lot of my feelings and emotions inside and wouldn't let people help me when I was going through hard times. What made me come to Jesus was I started to realize how little control I had of my life. My girlfriend broke up with me after being together for almost a year. I was seriously second-guessing my career choice, and I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I would cope with my problems with porn or just staying away from people to make myself feel safe. I truly was at an all-time low. But I remember going to a Saturday afternoon gathering, and Pastor David was preaching. And he talked about how during difficult times, God uses those times to change us for the better, even though we may not see it that way. Only when you fully surrender everything to Jesus and give your burdens to Him is the way you can feel the freedom of God. Since trusting Jesus, I feel more in tune with God, I have a greater desire to grow in my faith, and I want to help other people who went through similar struggles. I want to be baptized today to publicly declare that I am a follower of Christ because he loved us first, and with every trying time I face, I know I can look to God for guidance and direction.
My name is Talia. I'm currently a college student and also work part-time at a school with kids in the special education classroom. I live in Lancaster in the Manheim Township area. My parents are in the water with me today. I have a younger brother and a younger sister, and we all are very close. In my free time, I enjoy going on hikes and to the gym. Although I grew up in the church and believing in Jesus, there is a point in time where I derailed from the path of Christ and became quite rebellious. At the age of 12 and 13, my grandma was in and out of the hospital, and I was the one always taking care of her and translating for her. This caused me to get behind in school. At the same time, my biological father was in and out of my life, making promises he could not keep. I was getting harassed by some guys around my neighborhood as well. I made a few wrong decisions and had a lot of insecurities, hate, loneliness, and anger. I started to talk to my grandma more and more, and I opened up to her about everything I had done and everything I was going through. She gave me the advice to pray and let God take control. I started to read the Bible more, go to church again, and pray more. I decided I no longer wanted to be the devil's punching bag and listen to his negativity in my head. I trusted Jesus with all of my problems and just surrendered my life to him so he could do his good works in and through me. Since trusting Jesus, I've become a much happier and more loving person. I know that no matter where, when, or what time, I can depend on him. I can see now that he never gave up on me, and he never will.
My name is Wyatt, and I am currently a senior at Elizabethtown Area High School. When I was younger, my family attended church on a regular basis. I had a pretty close relationship with God. As I got older, I slowly strayed away from my faith and started to hang out with the wrong type of people. My decisions resembled that. Eventually, I changed up jobs and went to work at Zeger's Landscaping. I remember my first Saturday working with Ken. He talked about scriptures regarding what heaven would look like, and we ended up praying together. Through the course of the next couple of weeks, Kenny and Steve, one of my co-workers, invited me to church, and I have been regularly attending here ever since. Through encouragement at home, work, and my friends at school, I've become closer to God than I ever have been. And because of my mom, dad, sisters, Kenny, Ken, and Steve, I stand here today, ready to take the next step in my relationship with God.
My name is Barry. When they talk in the Bible about leaving the 99 to bring back the one, I'm that person. Brooke Gerhardt sang in A Song and a Prayer, "I'm not yet where I'm going, but I'm a long way from where I've been." That's my story. Typical of most people, I've battled addiction with alcohol, dealt with a mentally abusive parent, a failed marriage, and engagement along the way. I grew up in the Lutheran church, and when my father died, I started hanging with the wrong crowd at age 24. Later on, I decided to quit drinking and took up running and completed a college degree and landed a job in York. I then moved jobs to Lancaster County Prison and worked for 33 and a half years, retiring in June 2019. I knew something in my life was missing until a friend brought me to LCBC about 10 and a half years ago. I remember Pastor David's message. He said, Some of you were probably brought up in the church and had the Bible crammed down your throat, and one day you drifted away and turned your back on God. That was my moment. He was talking to me. I kept coming back, and things started making sense in my life. With every sermon, I became a life changed by Christ. I want to be baptized today because I fully accepted Jesus into my life and know that everything is in His hands.
My name is Jay. I live in Mount Joy with my beautiful wife and our two sons, who are my best buddies. I work in IT and enjoy the outdoors, sports, and just family time. Growing up, we never had a lot, and I bounced around living with different family members. School was not a priority, and it was fine with me to not have to face the embarrassment of being low income. I grew up Catholic, but never really went to church unless we were going to the church food pantry. Unsure of what I wanted to do with my life, I enlisted in the Army, but after suffering a knee injury, I was medically discharged. I moved back to upstate New York and met my wife. After getting married and having two young children, money was tight. We were barely getting by until I was offered an amazing job opportunity. During a visit to see my sister and her family in Mount Joy, my wife became hooked on the area, and not long after, we moved to Mount Joy. My wife had grown closer to God over the years and wanted to become a part of a church. After growing up Catholic, I was hesitant. One day, a friend of my wife's invited us to LCBC. We went, and seeing my wife come to life was amazing and helped me to start to lower my church walls. After attending more gatherings, it hit me that God had guided and protected me through everything that I had gone through. This is when I changed and trusted Jesus. I learned that He's not just there for the great things, but also in the hard times. I know life isn't always easy, but I've come a long way. I'm now living the life I always hoped to, knowing that Jesus has my back. I want to be baptized today to complete my fresh start and to be a role model for my sons.
My name is Stephanie, and I live in Mount Joy with my husband and our two sons. I grew up in a small town in upstate New York with my parents and two sisters. Church was a big part of our life, and I came to know Jesus at a young age. In my college years, I was in an unhealthy relationship. Instead of turning to my faith, I began drinking a lot to cope with it. This led to poor decisions that brought shame, insecurity, and unforgiveness. Shortly after college, I met my husband. We had our two sons within 3 years of being married. I was overwhelmed with a new marriage, two babies, and we were struggling financially. After I had my second son, I walked through postpartum depression. I also realized there were things from my past that I hadn't dealt with. Poor choices, rejection, and shame left me hopeless. I tried many remedies to help with my depression, but nothing worked. My aunt mentioned a Christian television program. I started watching it every morning. I started praying again and listening to scripture. I started to remember that Jesus was a savior who could forgive me, so I didn't have to carry the burden of my shame. I trusted Jesus once I truly accepted that He died for me to walk in forgiveness. Knowing I'm forgiven has allowed me to give grace to others where I used to judge. It's taught me to be humble when I used to be prideful and to love more selflessly. We started to attend LCBC in November 2019. It ignited our family to walk with Jesus in a big way. I want to be baptized because Jesus is my Savior and He has made me new. Today, my husband and I will be baptized together. We are truly lives changed by Christ.
your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all this stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life.
Guys, for 35 years, this is everything we've been about as a church, to just keep telling more people about our Jesus, to see more lives changed by Christ. And even though we do not meet in a garage anymore, we cannot stop being a garage, a place where everyone can bring all of their messes in and encounter the one who can put us back together, our rescuer, Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're one of our locations today and you see someone wearing a t-shirt like this, make sure you go up to them and say congratulations, give them a pat on the back because they got baptized today, and so let them know that you are proud of them. If you're one of our locations as well and you want to pray with someone today about anything, down in the front, the left of your room, some people there who would love to pray with you as soon as we're done. And if you're joining online right now, the chat will remain open for the next few minutes, so just stick around, let us know how we can pray for you. And let me just give you a quick reminder, next week we start a brand new series called Active Love. You are not going to want to miss it. Until that time, LCBC, may the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his favor and give you his peace. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next week. Have a great one.